Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Blessed be the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of gathering together again in the presence of the Lord. Wherever we are, there is the presence of the Lord. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Lord, whether we are driving, whether we are laying down, whether we are, whatever we are, he is the omnipresent God. But there is a special presence of the Lord when two or three are gathered together. That's how he ordained it. And to this morning again, we are going to enjoy that special presence that you give to your people when they are more than one. Father, blessed be that glorious name, Lord. Now, Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Therefore shall we never ever walk in darkness. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thou the light of the world. And he has imparted that light unto us. And we turn around and say, ye are the light of the world. So help us day by day to let this light so shine that men will see it and glorify not us, but he who gave us the light.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So as we read that word this morning again, Lord, help us to have our heart open. And Lord, there's always a blessing in it. And Lord, let it be mixed with faith in our heart this morning.
Amen.
And be transformed to a greater glory.
Amen.
Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. One of the signs of the time is what the prophecy says in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, about the 4th verse. Say, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book even to the time of the end. Then imagine that scripture with what will happen at the end of the time. Many shall run to and fro, and watch this one, and knowledge shall be increased. Just about 30 hours ago or so, NASA launched what is called the James Webb Telescope. We've been building for 30 years. Can you imagine that? And they have spent $10 billion in making that telescope, you know. So it was finally launched the early hours of yesterday. Astronomers everywhere, they were excited. And the astrophysicists were excited. Many of them are atheists. Many of them, their own object. This telescope is going to be 1 million miles above the Earth. 1 million miles above the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And their intention was that we need to have the Hubble telescope, right? Which has shown most of the cosmos. But this time around, their intention was to launch this satellite that will go that far. And the atheists among them are saying, you know, the aim is that, oh, it will see the beginning of the so-called Big Bang. See that? You know? And they will never find anything like that. That's no such thing. Eh? Praise the Lord. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Among them, God put his own witnesses. Amen.
Amen.
So yesterday night, the launch, the director of NASA, he testified for God. Here's what he announced to the whole world now. Forget about the atheist astronomers who are thinking going to see the Big Bang and where the whole thing started. You are wrong. Here is what the director of NASA announcing to the whole world are the success of the launching. He quoted Psalm 19 verse 1. The whole world heard that, right? And he said the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament share his handiwork. Forget about the 80s astronomers. This one is around the world. We saw it on TV yesterday night. So the world is hearing that. Now, about 50 years ago, and each of these major heavenly launching and so on that he allowed them to do, they couldn't do it if he didn't allow them. He has a reason for that, right? Now, back in about 50 years ago, on Christmas Eve, December 24, 1968, the crew of Apollo 8, they read from the book of Genesis, as they orbited the moon, astronaut Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Bomer the first woman to travel to the moon, recited verses 1 through 10 of Genesis, the creation account from King James Bible, right? From here. You know, God always has his witnesses. So to confirm the hidden and the ages and so on. God always puts his own there. Not only that, but 50 years ago, to the date and so on, the American astronaut Edwin Buzz Aldrin, you all know this name and so on, was a devout Christian. God makes him to be among that crew, right, of Apollo and so on. So, made history, landing on the moon. The first thing he did was give thanks to God upon the landing on the moon. Here is what he did. Aldrin silently read from John 15:5, right on the moon, which says, from the moon, which he penned on a 3x5 notepad. He took it with him to the moon. He wrote it by hand and put it in his pocket to the moon and so on. And John 15:5, and he read it to the whole world. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Read it to the whole world. You know? On his way back, this same Adrian, he was a Christian, Presbyterian Christian, you know. And God made him to be there, that crew and so on. On his way back, you know what he did? On his way back, Adrian read Psalm 8, 3 and 4. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, where he was saying, the moon, where I'm standing, and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man? He makes himself to be told thee too. That has so-called technological, whatever they got and so on, you know. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou art mindful of him. Praise the Lord. See, so this morning, where they are celebrating Christmas, for which we thank the Lord. So we start this morning by the grace of God. Where it started. We are living the days that is at the end of the age. Knowledge has been increased. See what they are doing? It's just another prophecy that we are at the end of time. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this morning we begin from where it started from the Garden of Eden. This morning, the seed of the woman, the fall of man, and the seed of the woman. God created man in his own image for the purpose of fellowship. That's how he made us. Genesis 1:26 says this, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And we know, as Jehovah Elohim, that's what he was, meaning the Lord God. That's what Lord God means, Jehovah Elohim. Adam and Eve will hear the voice of the living God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis 3:8. So that's fellowship, right? Come on, having fellowship. That's why he created us. The fellowship with the Lord God was broken when Adam and Eve sinned and they committed high treason against the Lord God, turning over the God-given dominion of the whole earth. He was the king of the earth, God made him to be so, unto God's and man's arch enemy, Satan. Jehovah Elohim promised back then, right here and there, you know, the restoration of that fellowship, because its eternal purposes cannot be changed, amen? Amen. Not even by Lucifer, couldn't do it, you know. And he promised back then and there, the restoration of that fellowship with man. In his address to the serpent in Genesis 3:15, talking about the fall of man and the seed of the woman, right? Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between that seed, see that, and that seed, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So now the thing is this. So who will be that seed of the woman? Who will that be? That will be strong enough to bruise the head of the serpent, which is actually Satan. Who will that seed of the woman? Who will be so strong to do that? Don't forget, this is that Satan called Lucifer, who even the angels could not master, for he deceived a third of them to join him in his rebellion against God. Who is that seed of the woman? Who can master the devil? Who is it? Who will that be? This is that Satan who succeeded in deceiving the false parents. You know, when they have had the word of and the command of, you know, of the Lord God. But this man, or devil and so on, deceiving the false parents, and took from them their God-given dominion over all the earth. So he himself become the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says so, became the God of this world. This is our Satan, of whom it is written, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, see that devil, that Satan, even the archangel Michael, disputed about the body of Moses, does not even bring against him a ordinary question. He didn't do it, no. But he just said, the Lord rebuked thee. That's Jude 1:9. This was that Satan, who was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. So who is the woman who can really destroy him? Who is it? That is Satan, you know, that I'm talking about, you know. So the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. He was upon the holy mountain of God that walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, Ezekiel 28:14. So who is that seed of the woman that can really destroy him? It therefore goes without saying, from what I just told you about a little bit about this, you know, this devil and so on, that that seed of the woman that will destroy Satan can either be mortal man or an angel. But God himself incarnate, praise the Lord. Amen. That will be God himself incarnate, can do that and so on. And the Bible revelation prove it so to this very day. So in the progressive revelation of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the seed of the woman, God sent a prophet called Isaiah and gave the following prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Progressive revelation of the seed of the woman, right? Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, he went on to say in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Talking about that seed of the woman, right? It could not be man or angel. It had to be God incarnate. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Idea, the Mighty God. It had to be God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in the New Testament, when that prophecy was referenced at the time of fulfillment, the New Testament referenced that same prophecy and gave us the meaning of that word Emmanuel, that name Emmanuel. See? That is in Matthew 1:23. Behold, quoting that same scripture of Isaiah, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth his son. And he shall call his name Emmanuel. He gave us the meaning, which being interpreted, God with us. See? Has to be God. See? So Christ, the seed of the woman, is God himself in the flesh. Now, the scripture went on to reveal exactly where Christ will be born. In Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, everything about him, about his coming and everything like that, you know, the seed of the woman, you know. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. No human being can fit that description. No man, only God himself. Now, the archangel Gabriel gave to prophet Daniel the very date the Messiah was to be born. The Bible gives when we are to be born, and also told us when he will be born. I have to go to Daniel chapter 9:25. Know therefore, that's Gabriel now, talking to Daniel. Know therefore, I understand that for the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 3 score and 2 weeks. The streets in Jerusalem shall be built again, and the walls of Jerusalem remain, even in troublous times, and it easily put that on out. And after 80 years shall Messiah be cut off, see, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolation, you know, as the coming, the contagious settle, you know, to Daniel. And, you know, we all know that one took place in Egypt. And we don't have that, you know, can't go into what happened in Egypt. That contagion of the seed of the woman, see, Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, the prophecy said that from the time of the commandment to restore Jerusalem to the time of the Messiah, and him being cut off, what will be 69 weeks? But are these 69 weeks of 7 days? No. No. God has a different measurement of time to confuse Satan, especially, you know. And to even add the day of the rapture, you know. So he had different kind of measurements. And the same God, you know. So, and we know, the event of the restoration of Jerusalem was clearly predicted by Prophet Isaiah again. He told us when that event of returning Jerusalem will happen in the edict of Cyrus. We are told in Isaiah 44:28 that years of Cyrus, you see, what Daniel said, that the restoration of Jerusalem, God told us when it will be and who will do it. Thus years of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even say to Jerusalem, thou shall be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Now, the fulfillment was recorded in Ezra 1 of what we are talking about now, that, you know, that Isaiah prophesied of Cyrus. In Ezra 1, the fourth verses, now the fourth year of Cyrus, king of Persia, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah about coming of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you Jews? I put that one there. Of all of his people, is God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God. Praise the Lord. That's how I was saying that and so on. That wasn't a Jew, you know, but God, you know, God has to do with the Gentiles too. And, you know, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remains in any place where he sojourned, you Jew, whatever you are asked, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts. Beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So the question is, so we see right here, how long is 69 weeks that the Bible talks about? Like I said, also measure, he had different measurements of time. In one place to him, one day is 1,000 years, you know. So even this week is also not 7 days week. No more than the creation was 24-hour days, not so, you know. So the same way, this week like you're talking about, it's not 7 day week at all. And there is a few to bear that out. It's actually, you know, so we can see one scripture in Genesis 29:27. We all know the story of Jacob, how he wanted to marry Rachel, the daughter of Laban, and they switched things around on him on the day of the wedding and gave him the right. So let's see in 27th verse of Genesis 29. Then you know, then they say, well, you know, we don't give the younger, because Rachel is the younger of the two, of Leah and Rachel, right? In our, not our custom to give the younger to marry before the elder, though they switched it on him and gave him Leah. But here is what was said. Fulfilled are weak, meaning Rachel. You say weak, right? And we will give thee this also, meaning Rachel, for the service which thou shalt serve with me, yet 7 other years. You see, these 7 years for Elia already, right? So we call it a week, and but 7 years, right? That's going to that. Other scriptures, I don't want to waste time on that, just to show that, to bring a point out. So it's not, so these 69 weeks of Daniel, they are, each week is 7 years, according to this scripture, and according to history too, you know? So, and so that's what it is. So if 1 week is 7 years, then what is 69 years then? 69 times 7 is 483 years. So, and that began for the commandment to build and to restore Jerusalem until the time of the Messiah, will be 483 years, according to prophecy. And it was so in history, you know. So, and the prophecy declared in Daniel, the Messiah was to be cut off. That is, he was to consummate his ministry with death. And the edict of Cyrus, according to history, and reliable history, the edict of Cyrus was given 445 BC. That means from that time on, for 483 years, the Messiah will come. That's what it means. From 445 BC, when the declaration was given by Cyrus, then the Messiah will come, right? So, and historically, we know, according to history, Christ was said to have entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, April 2nd, 30 AD. See? Now, calculate from 44 BC to 30 AD is 475 solar years. Solar years means 365 and a quarter days. You know, that's what it means, you know. And those who see that, they will think, oh, it's not 483 years, but God knows what he was doing. Now, the prophecy of Daniel, they were given in prophetic calendar system, you know. They were given, and also, not only Daniel, the New Testament Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, give dates in prophetic number, you know, 1260 and so on, that you know. They are 30 day months, just like before the flood, you know. So, now, if you now calculate, if that's a Daniel prophecy, from 445 BC to 30 AD, it's 30 days a month, it comes to exactly 483 years, point blank. That's right. So, the 69 weeks, it comes in 30 day calendar years, it comes, exactly right. So, God was right. He put some things in mystery and just hide it, and some of that, you know. But they are all in the scriptures, right? Like we just show now. Anyway, at the time of fulfillment, drew near, for the seed of the woman to come forth, God sent the archangel Gabriel. He's always sending to is the archangel messenger to the Jews. He talked to Daniel, right? Here in the Testament, he's going to talk to them again by the coming of the seed of the woman. So God sent archangel Gabriel again. This time around, not to Daniel has been about 500 years before this time. When he came to Daniel, this time 500 years ago, this time around, he was to announce the conception of Christ, meaning the incarnation. That's what he came to do in Luke 1:26. Well, it's Christmas time, right? We talk about it and read about it, remind ourselves and so forth and that, you know. In Luke 1:26, it's all about the coming of the seed of the woman, God Almighty coming in the flesh, right? Now, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin, what says the book of Isaiah 7:14? A virgin shall conceive, right? To a virgin, as passed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We're going to read a good portion. It's Christmas time, right? Can read this one. Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. There are many people who were named before they were born. Isaac was named. God told Abraham and Sarah that Sarah will conceive. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. It's right here. God named him. See, he was a type of Christ, right? That's right. So even the Lord himself, we can keep on going in the Bible, how many people God named there before they were ever born and conceived and so on. Shall call his name Jesus. And, he shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Tell me a king that ever reigned forever. I don't know of it. I don't know of one. See? That's God himself. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Bible says kings and something will all pass away. But God's kingdom will never pass away. Amen. Talking about Christ, the Almighty God himself, you know. And so, give him and, forever. He will reign. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest. What beautiful rendering of God's word. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That means God, really. You know, that's what the Hebrews were calling with Christ for when he said, I'm the Son of God. You know what he was talking about? Say, I'm God, you know. And behold, that cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. You see, with God, nothing shall be impossible, right? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What a statement, and that's true. And later we will see. Anyway, what that means to you and I today, 38 verse 8, and Mary said, Behold, a handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. How we pray that Christians today can take a promise of God, not trying to figure out how it will be done, but just because God says so, right? Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. Oh, yeah. And it shall come to pass. It will never fail. Don't argue it. Don't put sense knowledge to it. I don't know any man. I don't know any man. Just be it unto me according to thy word. Anyway, so let's read more about this season of the year in Luke 2, chapter 1, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days, this is time of fulfillment, right? That there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, all fulfilling prophecy, into Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Remember what Micah said, that Bethlehem of Judea, right? Exactly how the Holy Spirit said it, because it was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the date were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. All these statements, they are all sermons and messages themselves. Just keep on going. And they went in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. That even gives us a clue of what we're going to talk about shortly also. Everything means something right here. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, upon the shepherds, right? And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This bone, all people over the earth. What did he tell Abraham at the beginning? In this shall all the nations of the world be blessed, right? What is talking about Isaac? Isaac was a type, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Talking about Christ. Galatians says so. The seed that he's talking about is actually Christ, you know? And it's just happening right here. Unto all people, he said. And unto all men. So, and then, glory was and so, no, anyway, then I think I need something. Now, I don't know what I'm in right now, just 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. Right on this side, this thing happened to shepherds, mere shepherds, you know, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Now let's move forward here. We see something in there. So we know the 25th of December, thank God people are celebrating and all these things. No, those who know what they are doing, know to God be the glory. Our prayer is to those who don't know what they are doing and what it really means, that God will open their eyes, because he wished not that any man should perish. So anyway, people celebrate December 25th as the birthday of Christ, but biblical and historical evidences show that it wasn't so. Like I read in Luke 2:8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I'm telling you right now, in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem, wherever, over there. It's very cold, just like Flagstaff or Canada. Very, very cold. Even nature teaches us that no shepherd will take his flock inside the snow, right? You know, at night. Watch over there. It's impossible. Praise God. You know? Now, keep their flock warm. So that dismisses 25th of December as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one alone dismisses the thing that say that he was born on the 25th of December. What really happened was that that day was chosen to match Christ's birthday with the Roman God, the Roman Sun God, God's birthday. Don't forget, on the 21st of December, which we have, this last 21st of December, or anyone, is the shortest day of the year, all the time. We call it winter solstice, what we call it. It's the shortest day of the month, of the year, and the longest night of the year. And the heathen, the Romans, and the heathen, they celebrated, and they did it about 4 or 5 days ago. They did it all over the world, you know. At the time of course, that time, when they mark Christianity with heathen things, in the time of course, that time and so on. So to now put everything together, the worship of the Sun God. They now put it for 25th of December to move 21st of December to March on 25th. So they call it the birth of the Son of God. You know, that will happen in history. You should bear that out. That's how 25th of December came to pass. Never in the scripture. I don't even celebration of Christmas in the Bible anyway. You know, so but today we celebrate him every day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyway, so we see that that's how the date come about. So historians agree that Christ was born in the month of April. That agree with what I just said before. From 44 BC, the edict of Cyrus, 483 years later, came to April 30, AD. You see that right there? So he was born, in spring, where all things come to life. So it's not surprising that the Prince of Life himself was born in April. See? Because it has everything outside himself every day, you know. So I agree with the children that he was born around April. And when he was crucified too, was around April. Because that's what the Bible says, therefore, it is 3 years after 445 BC. So anyway, so we see, just clarify that one. We say it all the time to refresh our mind. So they don't know what they are doing. Now, many things happened when he was born. That was what they call the Star of Bethlehem, right? In Matthew 2, when we read, now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, the sun his star in the east, and they come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem we think, can you imagine? When the demon has come, they were troubled, right? That's Satan, you know, and so on, ruling the heart of men, right? You know, verse 9 says, when they had heard the king, so he told them, oh, you know what, go and search it out. When you find the baby, come and give me a report against her. Come and worship him. Satan is always a liar and the father of lies. Mm-hmm. He lied from the beginning, right? Or doing the same thing in Herod, the one who killed his own sons and so on. What a brutal king, right? You know, anyway, so when they have had the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till he came and stood over where the young child was. Now, like I said, verse 3 shows that there was some, where people have been saying, oh, that star, astrologers and some of that, you know, they were saying just a star, you know, just an ordinary star, something is a conjunction of Jupiter and Mars and Saturn and things like that, you know. That star has intelligence in it, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, what kind of conjunction? As they approach Jerusalem, because of unbelief, the star disappeared, amen. Before, as they were headed to Bethlehem, now it appeared again. What kind of conjunction is that? And we know that star, they are seen it, usually in the ancient times, you know, in the ancient times, most of these kings, like Nebuchadnezzar and so on, they appointed, astronomers. All they ever do in their life is to watch the heavens for unusual signs and some of that, you know. So this magi, what King James called a wise man, is actually from the word magi, you know. The same thing that was used in the days of Daniel, in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, where I say he was when he was promoted and he was the head of the wise men, right? So it's called the same word, it's called magi, you know. So ancient king will appoint these people who are specialized in the heaven, you know, watching the movement of every star when they say unusual things. There came a day when these three wise men or magi, they saw this unusual star, they never saw anything like that in their life and so on. And by divine inspiration, you know, they move. And they know there's something about this star, you know, not this star. And so, and they came all the way, took them 2 years, left everything they were doing, and they followed the star. The last star was leading them and so on, that, you know, all the way to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the thing disappeared, and then as they were heading, you know, out to Bethlehem, where the prophet says he'll be born, then he appeared again, and led them to the place, the house, the very stable, the manger, where the seed of the woman, see, cry, child, God, child, what? And he stopped right there. Tell me what conjunction can do that. I don't know anything about that. Anyway, so we see right there. So it was his, you know, it's the same pillar of fire, that star, you know, the same pillar of fire that led elective Israel appear in that star of Bethlehem, you know. He did the same thing. God never changes, right? Let's see in the Old Testament what the pillar of fire did when he led Israel, elective Israel, out of Egypt. So as the pillar of fire rose from the tabernacle and went before the children of Israel in the wilderness. Even so, the star of the east went before the white men and guided them to the place where the Lord Jesus was born. Exodus 13:21 says so. And the Lord went before them. The Lord himself went before them. How did he go before them? By day in a pillar of cloud. God in a pillar of cloud, right? By day. To lead them the way. And God by night in a pillar of fire. Doesn't change. To give them light to go by day and night. He took not, 22nd verse say, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. From before the people, Exodus 40, 36 says the same thing. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went to war in all their journey. When that star of Bethlehem stopped in Jerusalem, they also stopped, right? To go and inquire of the temple priest. Where? This king, they call him, shall be born. And the star, so they didn't go anywhere, they didn't see the star anymore. They went to inquire of the temple prophet, priest rather, where he should be born. Just like here, you know. So anyway, so, but if the cloud were not taken up, then the journey not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. So when the star disappeared over Jerusalem and so on, went to inquire of the temple priest and so on, when he appeared again, he led them to Bethlehem. So the star out of Jacob, the same one, this star been prophesied back then in the Testament. One of the most beautiful prophecies of the old Bible, even though that prophet later backslided, was a terrible thing. The star of Jacob, it was prophesied in Numbers 24:17, talking about this star, not a conjunction, not another star. Now here we say in 24:17 of Numbers, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Chess, he said. Christ is the bright and the morning star. See that? Revelation 22:16. It's all in the Bible. Agreeing together, the star of Bethlehem is Christ himself. Jesus Christ, the Almighty God. 22:16 of Revelation. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, see, and the bright and the morning star. The Lord Jesus Christ is the day star of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a sure word of prophecy, whereunto he do well to take it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star, see that, arise in your heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Eh? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You can't miss him. You know, all over the Bible is just right here. Now, so let's talk about the wise men a little bit and just enjoying ourselves, knowing the Bible says it's the glory of God to hide a thing. It's the honor of kings to such as a matter. Who are these wise men there? Well, I won't take long on this. The time, like I said before, the wise men, they mean magi, right? Like we said in Matthew 2:1, and also in the book of Daniel 2:48. So they are called wise men, but it means magi from the original, you know. The wise men or magi, they were, as far as you know from history, they were a priestly class that came from the area of Persia, meaning Iran area. You know, like I said, I already told you about what happened in those days. All those kings, they will appoint these people and so on to watch the heavens. So let me repeat that one again. Anyway, the thing is this. They were Gentiles, right? For they did not seem to understand or have any intimate knowledge of the Bible, the Old Testament. They didn't have any understanding. They had to go and ask the priest. If they were to be Jews, they would have asked, you know, where he will be born. That to go and ask the temple priest where he was born. So, and being Gentiles, their visitation means something. Among other things, it means God, reveal God's plan. It's part of God's plan to save the Gentiles too, amen? Can you imagine? Not even a Jew saw those that star when he arrived. They were Gentiles now, you see? Because God is showing to us that he has planned for the Gentiles in the plan of redemption. So not only the Jews. Praise the Lord. And it's just so wonderful and so on. Maybe Isaiah may have referenced there in Isaiah 60. Don't forget that execution can mean many, many things. Can have two or triple interpretations and so on. No wonder, maybe Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 60, chapter verse 1, a light shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is written upon thee. And the Gentiles, see that one, shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of their coming, of their rising. In fact, some people say that those people who are kings, those white men, we don't know if that is true. But you see that one, the Gentiles, they shall come to his light. So, so these white men of Magi, they were typical of the great multitude of Gentiles who were to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at his birth, a prophecy was given. Papa Simeon, I always call him Papa Simeon, who has lived all his life. For it has been revealed unto him that he shall not see death until he has seen the Lord Christ. Amen? So at the time of Christ, you get one of the prophecies, now say, oh, behold, my eye has seen the salvation of the Lord, let now depart in peace, he said. But one of the prophecies he gave was that in Luke 2:32, he lied to lighten the Gentiles, see, and the glory of thy people Israel. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We may be certain that this Magi of the East, to whom the star appeared and gathered them to Bethlehem, were devout seekers of the truth. They were devout seekers. Now, they were rich people. We know they were rich people. They left 2 years, they left everything. No? And they were coming. For strangely enough, they were devout seekers of the truth. How is it? Because strangely enough, why they would travel all the way from the east to Bethlehem to see Christ, this Christ, what's his name now? And the temple priest in Jerusalem. Only 5 miles away between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Only 5 miles away. You know? Who knew where Christ was born? They even told them where he was born, right? They make no attempt whatsoever to go and see Christ. But look at the shepherds. They were preordained, right? When they were told, and they see the glory of God come, the heavenly host, and so on, that you know. Oh, it didn't stop there. Let us go and see what this angel has seen. When you're Bethlehem. Not the priest, not the scribe, not the Pharisees, you know. So we see the idea, you know. So predestination also plays its part and so on. It's showing the idea how they will reject the Lord, amen? Right there, none of them. How they will reject Christ, the Gentiles, you know. So, and all the way from the east, they're to come and seek him. And let's see, Matthew 3:11. And when they were come into the house, meaning the Magi, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, see? And when they knew he was more than a man, amen?
Yeah.
He knew that he was God. They won't be wise if they are worshipping a man, right?
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And worship him, you know? And fed and worship him. And when they have opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And what they did is even in divine providence too. Because when the angel of the Lord will appear to Joseph, take that child and go to Egypt, for Herod, that wicked Herod, will seek the young lady's life. So we believe in divine providence that God and Saul helped Mary and Joseph in their trip to Egypt. We don't believe it. We didn't read it, but we just note that. Praise the Lord. Anyway, now, in wrapping up here, let me try to see what I got here. Now, the seed of the woman is even depicted in the heavens. We always say it. Today, the written word takes precedence. Not many people can read the heaven, but it's fast the first Bible, really. But the seed of the woman, before the Bible was, before the written word came, was depicted in the heavens. The 12 signs of Lazarus, that's Job 38:32, I won't go there. The 12 signs of Lazarus, or the zodiac people call it in the world, as originally given by God, were a prophetic outline of the purpose of God in the plan of redemption. A comparison of the prophecies in the Bible and the prophecies in the heavens clearly shows that the starting point in Lazarus is actually, Lazarus, in the divine promise concerning the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, where we began from, is that one, and which is Vago is what it is. And the ending point coincides with the climax of Scripture in the triumph of the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Revelation 5:5, that's what he says there. And one of the elders said unto me, see the title book to the world, to the old world, sealed with seven seals. And Brother John wept so that no one in heaven or in earth to break that seal of that title deed of the earth, or to even look into it at all, and he wept so much. Then he was comforted in Revelation 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the only one who can do it, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. See? So the promise of the seed in the fourth book of the Bible, Genesis, is seen in the constellation Virgo, right there in the heavens. That is the first Bible reader, you know. And the promise of the triumphant lion of Judah in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is seen in the constellation Leo, right there in the heavens. And in Leo, you know, all these constellations, the major ones, how they call it, the decans are associated, or associated of them, really, you know, there are 12 major ones. And in the heaven, the constellation Leo, there's another constellation called the Hydra, you know, the Hydra constellation and so on, like a serpent, you know. And we see in the heaven how the paws of the lion was at the neck of Hydra, the serpent, you know, ready to devour him, to fulfill that his sister bruised thy head, right? How the Bible says in Genesis 3:16. And right in the heaven is right there. See, Leo, lion, tribe of Judah, bruising, as it were, the serpent right there in the heavens, right there, you know. And so, 3:15 of Genesis and so on, the story of the woman. And the Bible is right, Hydra, Bible calls it the crooked serpent. Job 26:13 says, by his spirit he has garnished the heavens, wash it and see, the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent, that is Hydra. You know? And, you know, God has formed it in the heavens. Hydra, the crooked serpent. Not only that one, Isaiah said the same thing, 27 of Isaiah, verse 1. In that day, the Lord, which is, in that day, the Lord, which is sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, that's him, you know. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, you see, Hydra in the heavens, right there. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So, he will bruise his head, right? Genesis 3:15, it's out in the heavens. God put it there by divine providence. So let's see that one idea. So it's in the heavens, the seed of the woman, how we bruise the head of the serpent and so on. Let's finish here, the point. So let's put all these things, the plan of redemption. I want to talk about this one, the purpose of Jesus Christ, that we take all the books in the world to tell us why he came, you know. But I will analyze about just a few of them for closing this morning. He himself is subject of so many, many sermons that one can preach. But let's see now. So, why he came? All that I told you this morning, that maybe all we know already. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then, as the children, meaning men of God and so on, we, God's children, are partakers of flesh and blood, he, meaning the Lord Jesus himself, also likewise took part of the same, the seed of the woman, right? You know, the same. That through death, see, he might destroy him. See, bruise the head of the devil and so on, as you know. He might destroy him that had the power of death. He introduced death into the world, right? First of all, spiritual death introduces cause of separation of fellowship between man and God. That's spiritual death, right? And also physical death follow it. I'm sorry that you know. But thank God. I love that scripture there. He had the power of death, right? No, not anymore. No, that is the devil. So, so we see right there, the Lord came to fulfill Genesis 3:15 right there. In John 15:13, Greater love has no man than this. See, the benefits. We can't even number them. Oh, just I had some of them here. Greater love has no man than this, in John 15:13, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And he goes on to say, I come to restore the friendship, amen? The eternal friendship, praise the Lord. You know, and you are friends, and so say, if you are going to my command, you are my friend. I don't call you servants anymore. I come to redeem you, you know. So this friendship is eternal, praise the Lord. Anyway, so we see, you know, our friends. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, you see, reconciling the world unto himself, what he came to do, right? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And has committed unto us who believe the word of reconciliation. We are co-laborers together with him, all the redeemed of the Lord. We are co-laborers with God now. He brings it to pass the same message to the rest of the lost world, you know. So that's your job, my job. Get what that's one to do. In Luke 19:10, what he came to do? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What he came to do? 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Praise the Lord. If you are taking away your sin and my sins, so what is, why are you worried about sin now? You know? Even David prophesying in 1 Samuel 103. Who forgave us? All our iniquities. Who heals all our diseases? Brethren, what we are lacking is acceptance. Amen? The unsafe is unsafe because he refused to accept the only and perfect sacrifice that God has made for sin and for redemption of mankind. The same thing if we are sick, you know, you get sick, you have to accept what he has done for us. David said he did it already. All the Bible verses say he has done it, you know. Anyway, so why he came? John 10:10. Not only why he came. I say that is a volume and volume of books, right? The thief cometh not. That's Satan the thief, right? The robber. He has his son too. In that one disciple and so on, who carried the bag, you know, he was a thief like his father, you know. Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, right? So he's always a thief, the son of his father, Satan. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill, you see, and to destroy. I am come, why he came, that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. How Satan will deceive the unbeliever, if you become a Christian, take away something from you, and all this and that. He came that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. If they take anything away from you, he take away the desire to sin from you. Don't go back to the fall again. Praise the Lord. That what he take away from man, not eternal life, he gave instead eternal life to us and so on. So he came to save man's body from sickness, his soul from sin, his spirit from death, spiritual death, and so on that, you know. To this end, he gave eternal life. You see that? To the spirit, peace to the soul, peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you, right? So peace to the soul. He is the Prince of Peace. Even Isaiah says so in Isaiah 9:6 and so on. The Prince of Peace, right? Has he come to give for us, you know. And not only that, and healing to the body. And all are available to every man. Nobody is left out. Like I said before, what is left is the acceptance. Because we are told in Hebrews 2:9, to me all men, right? Mm-hmm. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's what he came to do. Taste death for every man. He died as we may live. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the eventuating purpose of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is not mortality, not really, not mortality at all, but immortality. Praise the Lord. That is the purpose of God in Christ, to bring back immortality back to man. Wasn't he made to die, you know, because he was made in the image of God. Only when sin came to the world by the wicked one. So, meaning, man transfigured by the Lord Jesus, man transformed, man transmuted in vision, in character, and substance like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:16, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, who no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. The Bible puts, amen, dear, amen, praise the Lord. Even more to the immortality that is brought to us, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us, see that, that's what he came to do, and called us with a holy calling. That is why he came, call you and I, and thank God we are that grace. This grace wearing we stand, right? Praise the Lord. Reminding you this morning, this grace wearing we stand. You know, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Don't meddle with this calling, it's a holy calling. Thank God, not by our work, not according to the work, to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, right before the world began. He foresaw what beautiful we do. Praise God. Right before the world began. Now, but it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. See that what he came to do. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, Revelation 1:6, what he has done for you and I, why we should be rejoicing. And don't let anything in this world, don't let the slow stain of things in this world stain us. Revelation, so it's a holy calling, right? Revelation 1:6. And has made us, what he comes to do for you and I, that this is your standing right now in Christ Jesus, some of them, take a whole day, maybe a week to talk about what he has done for us. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Last scripture here. Make you a king or what? Yes, he did it. So, kings and priests, right? Our own priesthood, no sacrificing of lamb and goat, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. Amen. That's our joy. As a priest, we just worship him. I'm praising him. Now, as king, what do you do? That scripture, Romans 5:17. What we should be doing today? What I should be doing today? For if by one man's offense back in the garden, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, you and I, by grace are you saved, right? Through faith, Ephesians 2:8, and not of yourself, right? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So you are in that shoe. This is your, you are wearing this shoe right now to act who you are, abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness. Bible says it was made of Corinthians 1:30. Christ was made unto us wisdom. Christ was made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is where you are wearing now. Act who you are in Christ. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. You shall not reign yet. Begin to reign in life. Amen. That is the command of God. He has come to do for you. Praise the Lord. Like I said, I can go on and on this morning and just highlight some things about us that He has done for us. And Bible says every man is entitled who will just believe and accept these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is like unto thee, O God? There is no God like unto thee in heaven and on earth. Who keep a covenant, you know, O Lord God, and mercy, O Lord God, unto generation to generation. We know that your word is true, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord God, not to walk by sight. Help us to walk by faith. Lay hold on the eternal life. Whereunto we are also called. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And begin to reign, O God, on earth as king in your name. Lord, we thank you. As you have told us, even told us, he that believeth on me, the word that I do shall he do also. And even greater work shall he do because I go unto the Father. That's no idle word. That's no, it's just the real truth. And we thank you throughout the church ages. We've seen it taking place over and over again. No sooner you left in the early church, Lord, we see the apostles, they raised the dead. That's what you did. And so throughout the ages, even in our own time, we've seen it happen. Our prayer is that this same truth will come to everyone that is called by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And rise up, in the name of the Lord Jesus, O daughters of Zion, shake yourself from the dust, said the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be who you are, for I am in you to do all these things. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Seek my word. Have you not read in the scripture how it is written? And they went and they preached everywhere. And the Lord was with them, walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will do the same thing today, tomorrow, and all eternity. So we go this morning with the encouragement that now are we the sons of God. Not even yet after what we shall be, but we know when we shall see you, we shall be like you. Lord, for we shall see you as you are. Boldness, they pray for boldness in the early church. Grant unto your servant boldness to declare thy word. And it was done. As we go here this morning, Lord, boldness. Remember to walk beggarly. You are a king. You are a queen. The Bible says so, not ordained of men, ordained of God. And it's whatever is going to perform it. We are going to continue to reign on earth. And when you come, I'm going to reign with you throughout all eternity. We thank you for all the time we have spent here this morning. We worship and adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Give him all the glory.